Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. This is the second part to my two-part show, which began last week. If you haven't listened to it, I would urge you to do so. And this is the big picture. I mean, the really big picture. This ties in all sorts of things that are going on that you're hearing about in the news with worried frown upon your brow. Worried frown upon your brow. And, you know, we're talking about the world canvas of the dollar, Russia, China, radical Islam, social racial division, intentionally, may I say, manifested and stirred by our so-called leaders, a gutted military, appeasement, deception, progressive communism, the targets of all those actions and strategies, and the strategies of our enemies. That includes, by the way, those that are now in power and those that are overseas, because we have both, unfortunately. Everything is interconnected, and everything is part of a grand plan. There's no doubt in my mind, the more I do these shows, the more I research this stuff, the more I review the hundreds of sources of information that I have, which allows me to bring to you concepts, ideas, facts, long in advance of the mainstream media, and, shall we say, with far more nitty-gritty, even on the main stories than the mainstream media brings to you. And this is all part of a one big plan, and it all flows back to Barack Obama, his minions, and what his belief structure is. And his belief structure is, at the least, highly sympathetic to Muslims and Islam. At the least, is heavily socialist, progressive, may I say communist, except kind of like, you know, the admission by David Axelrod, which you may or may not have heard about 2 months ago in his new book, which I don't recommend you buy. He admitted that the president was always in favor of same-sex marriage. He just knew he couldn't be truthful about it because he couldn't be elected. This is what this guy is about. He now sits in front of us on the TV trying to explain in his scholarly, I know best way how great this Iranian framework deal is that they've hammered out. Except when you dig into the facts, you listen to the Ayatollahs and the foreign minister in Iran, you listen to the French foreign minister, and you listen to a defector, an Iranian defector from the talks, it is nothing like he is portraying. Why should we believe him anyway? This is the guy who brought you the lies on health care, your doctor, your hospital, your policy, your premiums. This is the guy who brought you the lies on the IRS. This is the guy who lied to you about Fast and Furious. This guy lies as a matter of course, as admitted, I might add, by David Axelrod in his book, and as you can see with your own two eyes and hear with your own two ears. You know, in starting these Iranian negotiations, 2 years ago when he sent Valerie Jarrett, born in Tehran, Iran, and a Muslim, over to Qatar, who, by the way, is one of the largest financiers of ISIS, think about that, to begin these secret negotiations with the Iranians, which nobody seems to have all the details on, and which we and Congress are not allowed to see, other than what they want us to see. When he sent her over there, he had a little press conference when it finally emerged. And that was in 2012, you could Google it up. And he said, and I'm just going to take 2 points out of it, he said that Iran for a nuclear, well, first of all, Iran doesn't need a nuclear program. They got oil out the wazoo. But what he said was Iran for a nuclear program, you know, a peaceful nuclear program for power for its poor people, those same poor people he didn't support when they rose up against the Ayatollah in 2009, the Green Movement. They didn't need a heavy water reactor, and they didn't need the secret installations which apparently they skirted right under our nose and the rest of the Western world for 8 years, Fordo, which was finally discovered only because of an Iranian defector in 2009. Yet we find out in this framework that they can keep Fordo and that they can keep their heavy water reactor, which somehow magically is going to be remade so it's only for peaceful purposes. Now, if you'd like to believe this guy, if you'd like to entrust the safety of your family in the hands of he and his lying minions, his spokespeople, Jen Psaki, etc., that other pathetic blonde at the State Department, John Kerry, gag me, Valerie Jarrett, gag me, his chief of staff at Donahoe, you be my guest. I hope you're not living near a big city. I hope you have lots of supplies. And I hope you have, as they would say in the real world, prepped for what's coming. And by the way, what's coming is, in my estimation, also intended. Intended. So we're going to start today. We're going to start today with a reminder of Winston Churchill in 1932, because, as I ended my show last week, it is 1932 on the planet Earth again. You have an incredibly complex array of strange alliances, secret alliances, unknown twists and turns in finance and armament. You have the Shiite and the Sunni battling, kind of. You know, there's actually Sunni tribes that are now battling ISIS. There's Shiite forces now battling Shiites. Iranian-backed Shiites. We have the growing coziness, albeit uneasy, between Russia and China. Not only in a military sense, but perhaps in the most important sense, economic. And their target is not only America, their target is the American dollar, which is the only reason we are still the world's, although questionable, only superpower. Because it is the dollar, our ability to print it, to buy our own debt, and to continually, each and every year, as Obama loves, Cloward and Piven, the theory of Cloward and Piven, as Obama loves to spend more than we take in financing, number one, the social structure that he has managed to build here in the United States, buying votes with your money, and number two, the military, which he has managed to pretty much gut in the last 3 years. And when I say gut the military, I don't mean just gut the military in the number of people, number of men and women, the number of arms, the number of ships, the number of planes. I mean, that's stark and in your face. You've heard those stats. I don't have to give them to you again. In many ways, we're going down on a relative basis to pre-World War II levels. While Mr. Kerry and Mr. Obama and their minions tell us, we've never been safer. The world has never been more peaceful. I mean, you can't make this up. Go Google it. Watch them. See their lips move. But they're also gutting the military in terms of spirit. With sensitivity training. With women in combat. With free transgender operations for their favorite sons and daughters. With a disbarment, if you will, of some of the top and toughest military commanders who have dared speak up. With greatly relaxed basic training. I mean, we have soldiers that will be going into the field, folks, who really don't know how to take an order Because now you have to say an order nicely, you know. You can't say an order as an order. You have to say please and thank you. And heaven forbid a male non-com would give an order to a female PFC and say it in anything but the nicest terms. Because then he's sexist. And of course, if the PFC is black, he's racist. You can't run a military that way. It's all you folks in the military who are listening to this or who have been in the military, thank you for your service. Well, no. It is indeed 1932. In almost every respect, we have markets, stock markets, etc., peaking. We have people spending absolutely foolish sums on ridiculous matters. Another sign of markets peaking. We're being supported by an anomaly. Number one, I talked about the week before last and a bit about last week in Europe. Negative interest rates. You get paid to have a mortgage. You get paid to take out a business loan. I'm not making this up. So banks are losing money. Because they're losing money, they can't pay savings accounts. You have to pay the bank to park your money there. Now, who's going to do that? They're not. They're moving their money to the United States stock market. What happens when that money moves out, folks? Think about it. This is an illusion. It's been created by intentional policies. In Iran, they're celebrating victory over this framework structure. Israel is sounding the alarm. Netanyahu and others, much like Churchill in 1932. We have unilateral disarmament on the nuclear front under this man who is president who hates America. Meanwhile, Russia builds up their nuclear arsenal and plays the energy card. The energy card is huge. It's all tied in, military, Shiite, Sunni, energy, the dollar, Russia, China, the scalawag voting scandals here in the United States, i.e. using your money. I don't know if you heard this. I'm going to digress for just a moment. You know about the immigration problem, obviously. Yet another intentional act to undermine this country, to dilute the vote of working, natural-born, property-owning, or at least conscientious, Americans. While millions of people who tried to play by the rules wait in ever longer lines to properly immigrate, God bless them. Come on over. Did you know, this just came out, did you know that all the kids which were advertised for, go back and listen to my shows. In fact, we'll put the link up for you. The State Department advertised through various consulates throughout Central America for people to send their kids. Remember all that hullabaloo, the hundreds of thousands that came across the border? And the progressives, led by Obama, pleading for mercy for these poor kids. Guess what? Now, once again illegally, and partly because our gutless Republican Congress funded the budget till next October, they are now flying at our cost, our dollars out of our pocket, from our taxes. They're now flying the families, once again advertising, of course, flying the families of these juveniles who illegally crossed into this country, have now been scattered to the winds. The State Department won't even tell you their addresses. The press can't get it. They're flying their families up here on commercial airliners that the government is paying for. That's us, folks. And when they get here, they're being called refugees, which gives them a special status under the current immigration laws, and they get everything. Education, welfare, Social Security. Those already in the country are getting Social Security bonuses and tax rebates when they've never paid taxes. As with so many things with the progressives, as you'll see as we get into the show a little bit more, this is all tied in. This is a grand plan. What they do is they throw so much spaghetti at the wall, it's impossible to pick down every strand, even watch every strand. And if you find a strand, they lie about it. What's the first rule of Saul Alinsky in Handbook for Radicals? Never admit anything. Always deny everything. And if you must, then distract. Gee, who does that describe? What does that describe? Sure, they kill two birds with one stone. They increase their current and future voting base using your money, and they use your money, which creates a bigger debt and deficit, which ties into the Cloward and Piven theory. You don't need a revolution to overthrow American capitalism. You simply need to overburden it with social entitlement. You need to bankrupt it, in other words. That's what's going on. Why do you think this guy goes out and plays golf in the middle of all this chaos in the Middle East at your cost of $853,000 last weekend? That's right. It cost you $1 million so our president could shirk his duties, lie to us, and play golf. Is $1 million a lot in a 3.7 overblown, bloated budget? No, but add it up 100 times, add it up 1,000 times, add it up 10,000 times. Look, we're heading into a firestorm. I mean, what you see right now are all these huge hurricanes and tornadoes and dust storms. I'm using a metaphor. In Africa, in Asia, the Middle East, here at home. But they are going to merge into a superstorm. And they are intended to merge into a superstorm. Progressives think long term, i.e. Cass Sunstein's book, where he talks about the nudge. You move everything along so people can't notice just a little bit at a time, and then voila, you got them. Let's get into some specifics, shall we? Okay, number one, on the Iranian thing. Here's what we can glean out of the lies, half-truths, and omissions so far offered to the American people. Number one, you know, Israel's being thrown under the bus. I have long said that Israel will take out the Iranian facilities with a nuclear strike. Tactical nuclear strike. And what this does, what you see happening right now, brings us one step, maybe five steps, closer to that. Israel will not suffer another Holocaust. Obama's failed tampering in the Israeli elections, trying to bring down Netanyahu, yet another indication of just how pathetic, scurrilous, and evil and underhanded this man is, has simply fueled the flames. The Likud party of Netanyahu did a whole show on this 3 weeks ago. The Likud party actually gained more seats than they've gained in many, many years. That means Israelis are concerned about the fence and they're hawkish. It is no coincidence that during these negotiations, after the and during the spat, the ongoing spat between Netanyahu and Obama, and Obama's ever-increasing display of anti-Semitism on all sorts of levels, and anti-Christian on all sorts of levels, and pro-Muslim on all sorts of levels, that America released a top-secret paper suddenly and without warning to classifying it, which reveals Israel's nuclear plan and arsenal. It's estimated Israel has, from this, based on this paper, which, by the way, includes diagrams of the Israeli atomic weapons, the locations of their research centers, and estimates they have probably 80 bombs. Is that what you do to an ally? Is that what you do to the Jewish people? When at the same time you negotiate with the mullahs, who during the negotiations chant every other week, death to Israel, death to America. You think they're kidding? You think they're just doing that for fun? No. No, I mean, look, in the most, if you have a rational mind at all, in the most liberal of minds, there has to be red flags flapping in a stiff breeze up your mental flagpole. I mean, it just can't be any other way. At the same time that we are mollycoddling Iran, and we get these conflicting reports, the French foreign minister discloses that Kerry was there primarily, and by the way, that's backed by an Iranian defector who's by the name of Mohaghi. Look it up. It is M-O-T-A-G-H-I. He's given several interviews, basically saying that America is there primarily to promote Iranian causes to the other nations of the P5 plus one. We hear the same thing out of the French foreign minister just yesterday, Friday, saying that John Kerry got into all sorts of fights with him over points of this, and that France is not happy with this deal at all. Three of the foreign ministers left before the so-called framework was concluded. What does that tell you? And the president is working the phones with Congress. Well, whoop-de-doo. Obama, as I projected, invoking the obligation to protect, which he was instrumental in getting through the United Nations, i.e. protect oppressed people, the tenet under which he went into Libya, destabilizing the government there, taking out Gaddafi, and allowing his buddies, the radical Islamists, to take over the state, as he's done in other places too. He purposely creates the vacuum and then stands back and says, gee, the first time I read about these guys taking over was in the newspaper. I mean, it's diabolical. It's brilliant. Aided by a foolish and ideological press and people who just aren't watching. Too busy with the football game. In Israel, Obama has threatened to go to the UN and not block the formation of a Palestinian state, which is contrary to American policy for the last 70 years. That would return Israel to pre-1967 borders, which Obama himself recommended 3 years ago. Google it up. That would be the death knell of the Israeli state. Iran wouldn't need a nuclear bomb. And at the same time, now we start seeing intelligence reports about a buildup of Hezbollah, that's Iranian surrogates, and Hamas, more Iranian surrogate terrorists, in the Golan Heights and Gaza. some of the lands that would be returned if Israel was forced to return to its pre-67 borders. Do you think this is all coincidence? Really? Our Air Force supports Iranian troops in Iraq? Yet another vacuum intentionally created by Obama and filled by, you know, the lowest of the low, if there's such a thing, ISIS. You know, all of this, remember, you're talking about the President of the United States with incredible power and intelligence capabilities. I mean, none of this is new stuff. This has been warned about by the Churchills of our time for many years. Yet he and his minions feign ignorance and surprise when it comes about. There's a gentleman by the name of Fouad, that's F-O-U-A-D, Hussein. He published the Al-Qaeda Manifesto. He outlined Al-Qaeda's 7-point plan over a 20-year period to an Islamic caliphate in 7 easy steps. That's the name of it. An Islamic caliphate in 7 easy steps. This book has been out there forever. It's been studied by intelligence, etc., but not only do we not take steps to thwart it, we take steps, since Barack Hussein Obama came to power, to aid it and abet it and speed it. And in fact, Al-Qaeda, which includes, really under its umbrella, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, then you have Al-Qaeda and several other outfits, and under their umbrella, although standing on its own, is ISIS, ISIL, as the, you know, you can't even use the right word for it, as our so-called president calls it. One of the folks who took issue with Hussein's Al-Qaeda manifesto is a guy by the name of Mushabarsh, who wrote in Der Spiegel in Germany. What he wrote was his 20-year plan is based mainly on religious ideas. Oh, gee, I thought it had nothing to do with Islam, Mr. Kerry and Mr. Obama. It has nothing to do with reality. Really? No kidding. Guess what? Number one, you had the attacks of 9/11. Which for Al-Qaeda was to provoke the U.S. in declaring war on the Islamic world and thereby awakening Muslims. You know, I'd say they were kind of successful. And they're successful only because we waged limited war. There is no such thing as limited war, ladies and gentlemen. Read Sun Tzu, the Chinese general and philosopher who wrote the book Art of War 500 years ago. A limited war is a war you will lose. By the way, one of the things he said was, war is deception. Wonder if Obama's read that book. The second phase of the Al-Qaeda plan, the Islamic extremist plan, was called Opening Eyes, and that phrase lasted until 2006. The goal was Al-Qaeda wants an organization to develop into a movement. That was followed by the third phase, Arising and Standing Up, from 2007 to 2010, which according to Hussein will be a focus on Syria. Gee, you don't think these guys are following a plan? Remember our president drawing the red line and then doing nothing? Right? On one hand, feeding some red meat to the critics and to placate folks, looking with those big brown eyes earnestly into the camera. This is our red line. He had no intention. There was no red line. This is the third step for Islamic radicals. It's in writing. It's been out there for 12 years. The fourth phase. Al-Qaeda will bring about the collapse of the hated Arabic governments. Gee, really? Think about that, folks. We got Egypt, Libya, Yemen, Syria, in its own way. Right? This is exactly according to plan. Exactly aided and abetted every step of the way, despite diversion, right? Remember? Never admit anything, deny everything, and when you have to, divert. You think those 7 airstrikes a day over a piece of land the size of Texas makes a one bean's bit of difference to ISIS? Do you? It doesn't. I mean, that's like saying that 7 traffic accidents a day makes a difference in the United States. Now, we come into the next steps. Hussein believes that from 2016, that's just next year, folks, onward, there will be a period of total confrontation. Gee, what do we have going with, forget Russia and China, we're going to get there in just a bit. What do we have going with Iran? What is the breakout time if they follow the agreement, to use the words of the State Department and Obama? They're already setting up deniable culpability if Iran follows the agreement. You mean the lousy agreement you negotiated if they follow that lousy agreement? Right. And what's total confrontation? Total confrontation is when we vote, along with the Palestinians, to establish a Palestinian state through the UN, return Israel to its 1967 borders, forsake our friends, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, etc., by not giving them arms and weapons, which we've already begun in Egypt, whose leader, by the way, is one of the most courageous and outspoken critics of radical Islam. You think we'd be, God, holding his hand and putting him up on a pedestal. And, of course, we have the Iranian nuclear weapon, which, in one of the few admissions about this secretive, terrible deal, Obama and crew admits will be at least 1 year out from developing a bomb. Really? Really? What's 1 year from now? Oh, yeah, that's right, 2016. So 2016 in the Al-Qaeda playbook, in writing, published, is the period of total confrontation. He goes on, as soon as the caliphate has been declared the Islamic army, gee, I think that just happened in late 2014-2015. The Islamic State declared a state and declared an army and declared a government. The final stage, this will make you sleep well tonight, is called definitive victory. The rest of the world will be so beaten down by the 1.5 billion Muslims, the caliphate will undoubtedly succeed. This phase should be completed by 2020, although the war shouldn't last longer than 2 years. By the way, if you want substantiation on this, and I've talked about it in previous shows, it coincides perfectly with the umbrella outfit for all non-state terrorist organizations. Remember, Iran's a state. The rest of these outfits are not yet states. And that's the Muslim Brotherhood, who has advisors, once again, listen to my shows, in the White House, the Defense Department, the CIA, in fact, Mr. Clapper himself, I'm not saying he's Muslim Brotherhood, but he converted to Islam in Saudi Arabia several years ago. I don't know if you know that. I brought it up on a show 2 years ago. Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman is a Muslim, whose parents are in the Muslim Brotherhood. Quite active in it, actually. So, the Muslim Brotherhood document, which tracks the Al-Qaeda playbook, is also in writing and printed and available and has been known. Quote, eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over other religions. Is there a reason, do you think, that Kerry and Obama won't say the word Islam? Extremism, radical Islam, Muslim terrorists, you think so? You think this is all coincidence, folks? At the same time, you know, you have to make sure that if you want one party to win over another, that the party you want to lose, even if knocked back into the ropes, can't really get off the canvas. And that brings us to the dollar, energy, Russia, and China. And I might add to ISIS. By the way, what a lot of commentators who are beginning to wake up are now calling Obama's now overt. It was a covert campaign against Israel. Remember, when you knock these people into the ropes, you don't want to get any off the canvas. They're calling it Obama's jihad against the Jews. And you know what? That's exactly what it is. But his jihad is not just against Jews. It is against America. American values, Western values, what he considers to be the colonial powers. It is against Christians. Think of a man who on one hand whips his own population into the war on women and his hope for Democratic successor, Miss Clinton, who has as her focal point that she's a woman and she likes women's rights. Now think of leaders like that. Never mind the fact that they are advised by members of the Muslim Brotherhood, paid for by our tax dollars. I've given you the names and the positions. It's black and white. Look it up. These people have the audacity to tell us how we are a sexist country. Clinton takes millions, 25 million from Saudi Arabia, actually. Millions from countries who don't allow women to drive, get an education, have clitorectomies. Stoned to death? Really? And Obama? Obama does nothing to lift a hand for tens of thousands, make that hundreds of thousands of Christians getting killed, having their villages blown up, turned into real refugees, not the Central Americans that are being flown out at our expense from Central America. Tens of thousands of Christian women sold into sexual slavery and does nothing, zero, nada. Doesn't even acknowledge it. But boy, he's right up there in about 1 minute talking about some poor kid who gets shot in Ferguson, Illinois. Or admonishing us about being Islamophobic. Don't use that Islam word. Don't use that Muslim word. Be sensitive. Sensitivity training he's mandated in the military? Really? You don't see the irony in that, huh? It's not irony, folks. It's part of a plan. Admit nothing, deny everything, and then divert. All right. That brings us to some very palpable other enemies out there, whom Mr. Obama and crew is also, shall we say, nurturing. Oh, he's nurturing them. China and Russia, etc. And I want you to know, just staying on the topic of Islamic Jihad for just a moment, we are being set up to lose this, what he calls his abhorrence to ground troops, is to make sure we don't win the limited war that Sun Tzu talked about. His reluctance, his refusal, in fact, denial by he, Kerry, and other people, even Clapper, who was on the Sunday shows a week ago, to call Islam what it is, in terms of radical Islam, to label the enemy as radical extremist Islamists, Islamist terrorists, means, and you've heard this before, you can't defeat them. You can't defeat an enemy that isn't identified. That's like swatting at a swarm of bees and not calling them bees. You know, there's three things that we're doing in this regard, and it has to do with Russia and China, all our international state adversaries, Iran, and it has to do with our non-state, and really more lethal, in some ways, enemies. Because we can't name, don't want to name, intentionally don't name jihad for what it is, we're losing the cultural jihad. With Sharia law introduced here and there in the United States, the sensitivity training in the military, the disregard for Marines stuck in Iran who happens to be Muslim and fought in Iraq, not even mentioned by this administration. You think with all this, what with Iran joining the table of nations and all those other great things that they're getting done, they get one Marine and one pastor released from Iranian prisons, don't you think? Unless, of course, they don't care about a Christian pastor, and they don't care about a United States Marine. You know, the dismantlement of our intelligence over there by the pullout of our troops in Iraq, to a lesser extent Afghanistan, to 100% extent now in Yemen, that's on purpose, right? If we don't know, we can't respond. If we don't know, we can't prevent to what the elites who run us don't want prevented or responded to. There's been censorship by this administration throughout the military and intelligence agencies. The words jihad, Islamic extremist, Islamic terrorists have been stripped from the training manuals. Military, CIA, FBI. Intelligence folks have been told to falsify information, and when they don't, the administration pretends that they never heard it. I didn't know about ISIS, those JVs. That's not what the intelligence reports say. And ISIS has nothing to do with Islamic, even though it's the Islamic State, by their own definition. The Islamic State, by the way, I'm getting a little bit further away from Russia and China, but I think it's very important, so bear with me. The Islamic State, I just want you to understand what the size and scope and breadth of this enemy non-state, I guess you could argue they are a state now, of this enemy is. I want you to think back to what the Muslim Brotherhood document says about Islam taking over the world, I want you to think about to Hussein's Al-Qaeda treatise that we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. The Islamic State, folks, is not just creating chaos in Iraq and Syria, but Libya, Nigeria, the Middle East, Africa, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, and even Europe. It has a propaganda machine, which we allow to exist. You don't think we can't shut that down? We know where their headquarters are. We won't bomb it. What does that tell you? In the Philippines, Islamic State now has four separate terrorist organizations, including Abu Sayyaf. Bombings, kidnappings, extortionations, assassinations, rape, child sexual assault since 1991. In Pakistan, Islamic State's affiliate is Jundullah, with 12,000 to 20,000 fighters. They're the ones who carried out the attack on the Christian minority that killed 127 people just a bit ago in churches and wounded 250 in 2013. In India, the Islamic State has Ansar al-Tawhid, T-A-W-H-I-D, demanding the overthrow of Hindu supremacy. So, you know, India has about 1.2 billion and roughly 800 million of those are Hindus. But we're supposed to overthrow the oppressive Hindu supremacy. In Egypt, you have Jamaat Ansar Bat al-Maqdis, or Maqdis, largest militant group operating in the Sinai Peninsula. Remember what's happening with the 67 borders, the UN, and the Palestinian state. It has bombed gas pipelines in Egypt, many attacks on Israel, assassinations of top Egyptian officials, beheading of alleged spies from Israel's Mossad, murder of American citizens. In Libya, the Islamic State has three terrorist groups. The Islamic State of Libya, those are the folks who slit the throats of the 21 Coptic Christians, and our president never said a word. The Islamic State has affiliates in Algeria, Tunisia, Afghanistan, Indonesia, Somalia, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and now stretches from Central Asia to the Western Sahara. Take a look at a map, folks. From the eastern tip of Algeria, all the way out to the countries west of Iran, if you care to get out a globe, is like 1,500 miles. Half the size of the United States. According to the U.S. State Department and Homeland Security, Islamic State is the single best-funded terrorist, not Islamic terrorist organization they've ever encountered. Islamic State gets money from banks they've taken over, from oil fields they've taken over, donations from wealthy folks and Islamic charities in the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, how come Qatar always comes up? Valerie, please tell us. And $20 million a year from kidnapping and selling sex slaves, i.e. Christian women, which our president, that stalwart, and Hillary Clinton, those stalwart defenders of women's rights, don't say a word about. In fact, take money from. It's estimated 31 to 100,000 jihadists, these are trained, armed people, are now on Islamic State's payroll. That's right, their fighters get paid, just like an army, just like the U.S. Army. Obviously not in, well, maybe in U.S. dollars, who knows? And it's growing by leaps and bounds, obviously. Here's the stated goal of Islamic State. And this will tie in with the stated goals of China, Russia, and some of our other friends on the planet, all of whom are being foisted by this administration intentionally to bring us down. Islamic State's goal is, quote, obliterate the political borders of the Middle East that were created by Western powers. Remember, Obama hates the colonial powers. By Western powers in the 20th century, and to position itself as the sole political, religious, and military authority over all of the world's Muslims. So, you have it in writing from the Islamic State, you have it in writing from the Muslim Brotherhood, you have it in writing from Al-Qaeda, and it's been happening for the last 10 years, right on schedule, right before your eyes. Do you think this is a coincidence? And it's being allowed to happen by the traitors that run this country. Do you think that's a coincidence? You don't think America still has the might to take care of this? You're wrong. You're just flat wrong. We are purposely being shielded from the real historical and religious significance of all of this. What it is, where it's headed, and what it will do to get there, and what it will do after it gets there. It's that unholy alliance that I've spoken about for the last 4 or 5 months, listen to my shows, between the progressive, that is communist, left, and radical Islam. The more I'm doing this, the more I am convinced of this. What started off as an epiphany and hypothesis has now, when you take all these dots, all these huge blurs of information, solidified into a frightening canvas. And at the same time, to make sure that when we're knocked in the ropes, we don't get up from the canvas, we mollycoddle Russia, who is busy buying up energy reserves all over the world. Russia, yes, are there certain aspects of the Russian economy being hurt by sanctions? So what? Putin has a plan. And listen, as Russia and China grow in power, the United States diminishes. Remember what the goals of the people who are in power in the United States are right now. It's not just that the other side gets what they want. It's that our side gets greatly diminished in the process. It's twofold. Vladimir Putin is a very intelligent man, dedicated man. And he is ruthless. He's read Sun Tzu's Art of War. There's a struggle going on right now between Russia and America to control the world's energy supplies. And it's not going to be changed by a solar deal on top of your house. This is geopolitical to the extreme. The Middle East is part of it, but almost doesn't count in it. And Russia is now the second largest oil exporter in the world, just behind Saudi Arabia. If Obama would loosen his leashes on our burgeoning energy industry, we would be third and then second behind Russia. Russia is the largest uranium exporter. Think about the Iranian nuclear deals, guys, in the world. Russian uranium power 1 in 10 American homes. It's the largest natural gas exporter in the world. Has roughly 1/4 of the world's known reserves. It supplies gas to virtually all of Western Europe. It's building huge pipelines in concert with China, with whom it is establishing the Asian Central Bank, which will rival and is coddled by the IMF, and who will not deal in United States dollars, and who was just joined, despite Obama pretending to jump up and down, by Australia, England, France, Germany, etc., our allies. It's an attack on the dollar. which the International Monetary Fund, by the way, has said ought to not be the reserve currency of the world just in the last year. So not only are we degrading our physical military, not only are we pulling the wool over our own population by failing to name an enemy and confront it absolutely, we're making damn sure at the highest levels of this government that the thing which fuels our military, that makes us a superpower, the United States dollar, which allows us to spend the money on these matters, is eroded and eventually vanquished as the world's currency. Remember, once your enemy, and remember, we are Barack Hussein Obama's enemy. Not ISIS, not Iran, not even Russia. We are his enemy. When your enemy is knocked into the ropes, you don't want him to get off the canvas. And if the United States dollar is still the reserve currency of the world, we just might get off the canvas like we did after the attack on Pearl Harbor, but in the 21st century terms. If the world's reserve currency is not the dollar, we won't get off the canvas, folks. And he knows it. And to accomplish these aims, he'll do anything. You know, I've been screaming and yelling, as have others, about not sending arms to Ukraine. You know why he doesn't want to send arms to Ukraine? He wants Russia to vote for the P5 plus one deal in Iran. He wants Russia's vote when he throws Israel under the bus of the United Nations. They're on the Security Council. This is all... It is dastardly brilliant. And Russia, of course, plays it to the hilt because Putin knows exactly what he wants and where he's going. And the ideological and religious bents of Obama and Obama's hatred of the colonial powers in America and Israel, Putin is playing like a fiddle. You know, Russia put its northern fleet on full alert a week ago Monday. Nuclear-capable long-range bombers are being sent into the Crimean Peninsula for war games, 45,000 troops as two divisions. And you know what our response is? Oh, well, we sent some tanks and fighting vehicles to the three Baltic states, you know, our NATO allies. The same NATO, by the way, that Obama wouldn't meet with the head of a week ago because he was too busy. And then spent 3 days playing golf. And what we're going to do in response to this overwhelming military exercise by Russia is we're gonna have a little caravan of tanks and stuff that roll through Poland and Czechoslovakia and some of the other countries. We're going to show Russia who's boss. Right. This is the same as doing 7 airstrikes a day in the Middle East. It's all for show. It's the distract part of the deny everything, admit nothing. So, you know, our economic sanctions on Russia, they're not having an effect because Russia is clever enough to whip it into a national frenzy. See what they're doing to us? Get behind Mother Russia, and they do it quite successfully. In other words, Putin understands how important the unity of his people is. So does Obama. But Obama attacks the unity to better his position and his ideological and religious game plan. Putin, with pure national focus, solidifies his population even in the face of adversity. Okay? And the sanctions are not having the intended effect. Yes, they are economically in some ways, but not in the mentality of the country or on Putin, because we did it without a strategy. You see, all the pundits say that we don't have a strategy for this and we don't have a strategy for that and we don't have a strategy for ISIS and Iran and the Middle East and Saudi Arabia and Israel and Russia and China. I disagree. I think Obama and his minions have a huge strategy. That's the big picture of this show. Their strategy is to say they don't have a strategy. Follow me. Their strategy is we lose and all of them win. That's their strategy. They have a huge, big, incredibly intricate, many front, many tangent, many tentacled strategy. And it's succeeding. Their strategy in some ways may be the grandest, I use that in the darkest of terms, in the history of the world. Well, you know, that brings us to controlling communication, which is rather important. You think this net neutrality thing was all about, you know, the crap we were fed, better access for everybody and lower costs and little people can't get hurt? What a bunch of kaflooey lies. All you have to do is read the 362 pages that were released. And then you find out that George Soros is, you know, a communist. Open Society Foundation, other left-wing groups, like Ford Foundation, which was founded by Robert McChesney. He's an avowed socialist. Look him up. MC, capital C, HESNEY. He's a communications professor, gee, big surprise, at the University of Illinois. Oh, Chicago. Who do we know from Chicago? Oh, that's right. David Axelrod, Valerie Jarrett, and Barack Obama. Here's what McChesney has said. I'm quoting. Quote, I told the website Socialist Project that unless you make significant changes in the media, it will be vastly more difficult to have a revolution. In 2009, quote, any serious effort to reform the media system would have to necessarily be part of a revolutionary program to overthrow the capitalist system itself, to remove brick by brick the capitalist system itself, rebuilding the entire society on socialist principles. We need to do whatever we can to limit capitalist propaganda, regulate it, minimize it, and perhaps even eliminate it. In November 2000, Monthly Review, Journalism, Democracy, and Class Struggle, his article. Quote, our job is to make the media reform part of a broader struggle for democracy, social justice, and dare we say it, socialism. He wants the federal government to control the internet. Again in 2009, quote, McChesney, at the moment, the battle over network neutrality, gee, what just got passed, is not to completely eliminate the telephone and cable companies. We are not at that point yet. But the ultimate goal is to get rid of the media capitalists in the phone and cable companies and divest them from control. That, folks, is what net neutrality is all about. Because, you know, you don't have to deny and you don't have to refuse to admit if people aren't getting the information to begin with, do you? It makes it much easier. I'm going to be talking more about this net neutrality thing, the media and the press here in coming shows, but I just want you to know that for this strategy, this grand strategy, this big picture to succeed, the less you know, the easier it is for them. And the more they control your sources of information, particularly the internet, the less you will know. It is that simple. It is all part of the big, big picture and their grand strategy, which they do have and which is not in our best interests. China, by the way, flexing its military muscles. You understand that everything Obama does, the red line in Syria, he didn't go into Syria because he didn't want to piss off Iran. He doesn't send arms to Ukraine because he doesn't want to upset Russia. He puts in place economic principles, economic policies in the United States, and refuses to approve the Keystone Pipeline, hurting this booming American energy resurgence and renaissance to help Saudi Arabia. It's all part of a big plan, big picture. Get out of your normalcy box. Step back and look at everything. It all ties together. And just like we will be unsuccessful in fighting and eventually defeating Islamic Jihad, unless we name it for what it is, we will be unsuccessful in removing this cancer from our society and defeating these ideologies until we, A, recognize that they exist, B, understand what their goals are, and C, are aware of what their, shall we say, operational objectives are to reach those goals, how they're doing it. I hope this has given you some food for thought, because it's really, really, really a big thing. And it's really important that you and yours understand how it all ties together. And by the way, I could have talked for another 3 hours here. My producer is signaling me that I'm out of time. We'll revisit some of these subjects in the future, particularly on how they're now trying to control communication, which ties in with this attack on First Amendment by various groups of the left. Free speech related to what you may think or not think of Islam or any other religion. It's all tied in, folks. It's all one big picture. And if you get a chance, I would say pass any show on or any article on that talks about these, I don't even want to call them theories now, these incontrovertible set of touching dots. Except that I don't think any other show has really put it all together like this. So pass it on. If you get a chance, like our page on Facebook, On the Right Side Radio. Pass on this link. It is imperative that people wake up and understand the enormity of what is transpiring and the intentional nature of that enormity. I hope you have a great Easter and a great Passover. This is not joyous holiday news, but nonetheless, love the ones you're with, embrace your family, think of your country, and let's get to work. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.